tell. You waited till I was done. I can
No, it was there was.
I am kidding.
There was a little mix up because we had to go in and out, and I had to remake Yasmin the co-host. Sorry.
No worries. But we have an obligation to teach this through our CUNY. Choco, I know you're at like Staten Island. Sudef, you're at Hunter. Britain, you're at, like, we need to bring qualitative methods, which are opportunities for radical narrative expression, to community education work like Joanna does, to community colleges, to four-year colleges. So that's why you should do it. And it's a rare opportunity, rarely, to be involved in a qualitative research concentration, much less one that cuts across social welfare, psych, and urban ed.
Okay, thank you so much, Michelle. There'll be time for questions later. And now we have a recording from Barbara Teeter, who's the Executive Officer of Social Welfare. So Yasmin will cue that. No, we saw Barbara for a minute and then, or a few seconds, and then she went away. I see you. There
she is.
Okay, that's it.
Good evening. I'm glad to see that you're here at the information session for the qualitative concentration. I'm Barbara Teeter. I am the executive officer for the PhD in Social Welfare Program. And I'm here just to say a few words about how this concentration can be beneficial for social welfare students. Firstly, the concentration consists of four courses. And in the social welfare program, you actually have one course that is already part of the qualitative concentration, and that is SSW 77000, Qualitative Research Methods. You take this course in the fall of your second year. So to have the concentration, you would need three additional courses. One would be the core course of the qualitative concentration. And then you would select two more courses. Those courses go towards your electives. Within the social welfare program, you have seven electives that you need to take over your time in the program. So by taking one that is already required for the social welfare program, you only need three more to complete the concentration. And those, again, can count towards your seven required electives. So why would you do this besides just, you know, using it as part of your electives? Well, one, our social welfare program is pretty quantitative research methods heavy. We have two statistics courses that you're required to take and one quantitative research methods course, and we only offer one qualitative research methods course. So it's really beneficial if you're interested in qualitative methods or to just expand your knowledge and skills as a researcher, is to take advantage of these courses that are offered in the concentration and have a concentration on your CV. Once you have this concentration, you're going into the job market, you're really seen then as the expert in qualitative research methods by having this experience of the courses and as being part of the concentration in the community that we foster under the concentration. So it's really enhancing and boosting your research skills and really making you kind of the expert in qualitative methods. So we really hope that you consider this concentration as you're looking forward in your program here at the GC and with the social welfare program. I encourage you to please reach out with any questions. I will be meeting with many of you in the social welfare program for academic advising, and look forward to talking about this as an option for you. So enjoy the information session this evening, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye.
Okay, great. So I'm going to bring you back to the website just to show you, for those of you who came later, this is an overview of the structure of the program. Barbara actually just explained it. It's a little bit different for the other students, but I'm going to take you to events to introduce our next three speakers. Last spring, we had our first qualitative research methods presentation day. This is the culmination of the concentration, and students who have or are then completing or have completed all the coursework present for about 15, 20 minutes on one of their qualitative projects. This may be a section of their dissertation, it may be a summary of their dissertation, it may be a project they did in a course. So we are fortunate to have these three graduates of the program to speak with you now. Let's see, Britton, you are here. Would you start?
Sure. Hi, everyone. It's great to be here with you. So I'll just share a bit about how I have found the concentration helpful to me. In particular, it really actually lifts some of the things that have already been said, which is for me, having many people tell me, and also my experience in many classes, overwhelmingly lift quantitative research as the best route to go and the way to be considered a legitimate researcher for me was counter to my ways of understanding, learning, knowing, and communicating knowledge. And so for me, having the concentration actually allowed me to kind of steep myself across multiple classes that really allowed for me to see the ways in which other folks have understood, implemented qualitative research practices. Michelle really lifted the interdisciplinary connections that exist in this qualitative concentration. And I found that to actually be not only true, but really deepening to my own process as a researcher. So, I mean, for me coming into the program, and I am actually in the PhD program in social welfare that Barbara was speaking about, it actually being a part of this concentration allowed me to fully take on an identity as a researcher, which historically has not been something that I felt connected to me. And in fact, was my big uphill challenge in trying to understand how my PhD program and process would support me in the work that I wanted to do, because I didn't know if I would be able to navigate in the context of academia in a way that felt true to who I am and the ways in which I wanted to both work and present any work that I was doing. And so the concentration actually was born while I was in the midst of my program. I was one of the folks that actually experienced that intro prerequisite course after I'd already taken several of the other courses that were required. And I have to say, as you said, Colette, actually, I did find that being in a class with people across different entry points into research, that was actually a rich experience for me. And so I didn't find it a challenge taking the course later on in my process. I actually found it quite supportive because it also allowed me to see the places where it's like, oh, actually, I feel like I have a really good understanding of this, but also find new things that were like, okay, I didn't know about this. This is interesting. And then to hear from folks across the span of stages in their own research processes in that class was really actually quite enriching for me personally. So wherever you may be entering, I will just say I found the class personally to be supportive in my process. And overall, for me, I'm just excited to have been able to join this process, seeing that it actually just is a newer concentration. And I look forward to seeing how it will support me after graduation. But what I will leave with is, I think for me in particular, and for anyone here that is seeking to really feel themselves realized in research in a way that is affirming to who you are and how you navigate your work, if qualitative research is that, I would really recommend from my own experience, based on my own experience, this concentration, because I've found it to be affirming, supportive, and enriching, expanding my own ways of even understanding qualitative research from how I first entered the program. So that is my two cents. I hope it offers something to someone. Thanks for the invitation to speak, and I will pass it on.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That was inspiring. So now we have Lisa Babel, who is in the developmental psychology training area.
Hello, everyone. As everyone else has said, I'm excited to be here. I feel like a lot of things have been touched on. So I was going to talk a little bit about how the qualitative concentration has helped me, both in my own research and with the other work that I do. So I was the same way. I took my qualitative courses. I took them all, and then the concentration came about. So I took the intro to qualitative methods towards the end of my classes, but it still helped and I really enjoyed it. When I was an undergrad, I never thought I would go into research because I thought research was strictly quantitative. And it wasn't until I was in grad school that, you know, I was exposed to qualitative methods. And so that's been something that I've been a strong advocate for in my teaching and my advising. So I'm an adjunct in the psychology department at City College. And I always find a way, no matter what course I'm teaching, to squeeze in qualitative methods, because none of my students, and I teach both undergrad and graduate students, a lot of them were not aware of qualitative methods and that you could do research that way. They thought it, you know, had to be purely statistical based. And last spring, the department wanted me to teach experimental, which is, you know, very heavy quant focused. And I told them I would teach it if I could have the class be, I think, one third ethics, one third quant, one third qual. And I told them how, you know, I've taken all these qualitative courses and I have my qualitative concentration. And they agreed and they let me do it. And now as I'm teaching experimental psych and, you know, I'm introducing students to qual methods, I have more students that are very interested in doing that kind of work. And I've been trying to get the department to have a qualitative methods course for a few years now, but now they're finally open to it because I've been introducing students to, you know, these new ways of doing research, whether it's ethnography or narrative analysis, or PAR. So there's that. I'm also an advisor, and the students I work with are all doing qualitative methods. One is doing work related to cyberbullying. Another one is doing research related to how children cope with divorce. Another one's doing it on African-American males and access to mental health care. And so all of those topics are so different, but they're all using qualitative methods to do their research, which is amazing. I also am a qualitative data analyst for a nonprofit. And so essentially I analyze their transcripts from focus groups. They give me the data and they're like, here, tell us what it says. And I think having the qualitative concentration really helped when I did apply for the position. So that's been great too. And the last thing I will say is a month ago, I presented some research that I'm working on related to how parents narrate their children's play, because I particularly, I focus on doing narrative analysis. And I was at a conference and I was presenting. And when I was done presenting, a lot of people really welcomed the qualitative methods that my research partner and I used. And we were actually, we were encouraged to apply for another conference that takes place next year because they love the methods we used. And they said, this is what we need more of. Using the qualitative method courses I've taken and having that qualitative concentration has helped me not only in my own work, but as an advisor, as a teacher, presenting at conferences, and even working outside of academia, like I said, working for the nonprofit that's doing really good work. So I highly recommend, the concentration.
Okay, thank you, Lisa, for the teaching perspective on teaching and spreading the word to undergraduates. And also for your work with the nonprofit as well as your research. Thank you. So we have Sedef Ozoguz, who is, I think, working on her dissertation in the critical psychology program. And now she'll speak the critical psych training area. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Philip. Hi, everyone. I mean, yeah, everyone said most of the things I wanted to focus on as well, but qualitative concentration personally has helped me a lot in terms of just getting to know like the breadth and depth of qualitative methods. Like I was very much invested in qualitative methods when I took the qualitative concentration, so I didn't need much of a I didn't need to be convinced into like the how useful like qualitative methods are. So I had already taken most of the classes, like all of the electives that I needed, but it still helped me to get introduced to other qualitative methods that I didn't really know about. Like I had already taken like Deb's class and the study of lives class. I took critical methods with Michelle, but I also learned, like, for example, feminist ethnographies was something that I didn't know, and I learned it through the qualitative concentration. So I think if you're getting into the concentration also like as an introduction, introducing yourself to the qualitative methods, I think it would also help you to pick which qualitative methods you're interested in, and so you can then get more advanced understandings and then also go into those specific courses that you're interested in to learn more about them. I think right now specifically I'm applying to jobs in academia, so for that it has been, I think, helpful. I don't know if it will be, but at least the people who are advanced in quantitative methods, and most of the focus is on that. And then I feel like it could really, qualitative concentration could really be what sets you apart from other people who might be applying to the same job. So in that sense, I think hopefully it will be helpful. And then I also see a lot of, as Lisa was also talking about it, like in the nonprofit sector, there is demand. I keep seeing like job listings that are really focusing on qualitative researchers. Same like also in the private sector. I've talked to some associate professors who were like, "Yeah, I'm leaving my job in academia and gonna be a qualitative researcher in the private sector." So I feel like wherever you go, it has like, there is more, it seems to me that there is more demand for qualitative methods. That's my experience, and definitely highly recommend it as well.
Thank you, Sedef. And also for, in addition to the other perspectives, adding what's been happening on the job search. Yeah, thank you. Okay, good. So now we will talk a little bit about the courses, and whoever, if people can stay, you could direct questions later to our speakers as well. So this spring, I'll start with the courses for the spring and ask other faculty who are teaching to say a few words. As I mentioned at the beginning, this spring, I'll be teaching the Foundations course. And it's the third time it's been offered. So now we have Harriet and Sonia Munshi's syllabus. I mean, we all follow the same general purpose. It's a survey course. And the idea is to focus on the epistemologies that guide qualitative research, the diversity of epistemologies, and the specific methods. And then we've also had an increasing awareness of the importance to have hands-on work. So we've designed this course to be not only about qualitative research methods, but to immerse the students in a wide range of methods, you know, for the 15 weeks that we have, and to give you a chance to practice the method. So, and I have, Deb Tolman taught it last spring, so I now have her syllabus to work with. In terms of what my focus will be this spring, it's generally the purpose to do a survey course to show the diversity of methods, help the students get inside of each one of the approaches that the faculty who come to present will give us background, theoretical and epistemological background with, also examples from their own work or their students' work, and then provide some practice. So, and again, there are quite a few guest speakers in this class, and so that's a richness. And I'm going to be inviting people, especially who will be teaching next year. So the students who take the course will have an opportunity, when, as Britton said, maybe to even revisit, you know, maybe you know, if Michelle comes and Britton, a student in this course has already taken a course with her, they might get a new perspective by being in this Foundations course. So that's just a brief overview of the Foundations course. And there, as I mentioned, there are course descriptions on the website, and then we will update them as people revise those, and then we'll be, you know, increasingly adding syllabi for faculty who are eager to share their syllabi there. So and that class will be offered on Wednesdays, 4:15 to 6:15. So Jen Collett from Urban Ed will be offering a course this spring as well. Jen, would you talk about your course?
Yeah, of course. I will be teaching a course on qualitative coding. And this will be actually the third iteration of the course. So I've tweaked it now. I will be tweaking it again, just given the feedback that I've gotten. But I believe that Wendy and I talked about really encouraging people that have some preliminary data, because we talk about notions of validity and qualitative research, triangulation, and then coding. And so we go through what that looks like and how to take theoretical models to create codes. And that, I believe, Colette, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's Mondays at 4?
Yes.
Okay. Mondays at 4. I'm trying to look it up in the comments, but yeah, I believe it's Mondays at 4. And if you have any questions, do email me.
Okay. And maybe if you can stay, maybe people will have some at the end. And if not, they can definitely email you as well. So Deb Tolman will be teaching the Advanced Listening Guide. She also teaches the First Listening Guide sometimes in the fall. But Deb, would you talk about the Advanced Listening Guide course?
Sure. I have to speak a little bit. I'm in a room with other people. So the Listening Guide course is actually a two-semester course. We're 2/3 of the way through the fourth semester. And it is a course about this very particular, specific narrative methodology. It's a bit of a complex method, but also a very powerful method. And most students find it to be the case for them. And I've had quite a number of students who've decided to use it in their dissertation research, or just in general when we get into it. It is not a thematic analysis. This is an alternative to thematic analysis. It really offers a new way to think about what often is become a traditional way to think about politics. It's based on people's story narratives. It's a psychodynamic method. It's an interpretive method, like all methods are to some extent, for sure. And it's also a method where you write well. There's no excuse for bad writing. And I think that the listening guide really offers a great opportunity to use all of your creativity and writing skills. The second semester is advanced listening guide. So in the first semester, we go through each part of the method. We talk for multiple weeks about the origins of the method, the epistemology of the method, the methodology approach. And for the middle part of the course, we talk about, show you the steps of this method. It has very, very clear steps. And that's straight through to the first write-up of an analysis that you've learned how to do. Second semester is designed to do this again, but with a second interview, second case, ultimately. So we review everything, kind of quickly go through all of those pieces, and then go back to the beginning of doing another listening guide interview, which is a different approach to interviewing, and then through all the steps again with a second case. And then we work on what do you do with two cases for listening, how you learn about something that's bigger and the individual's experience, which valuing both the individual experience and the insight that doing those analyses can give us into human experience with a very particular focus on marginalized folks and their experiences and that disconnect between what gets called reality and what feels like reality. So you don't have to have taken the first part of the course. I strongly recommend that you do. But if not, you're really interested, I'm not teaching this series next year, but I'll teach it the year after. But get in touch with me. I basically will have a conversation and kind of check in to see if this would be actually be good for you, if it would work for you, because it's somewhat different than the first, taking the first and then the second.
And it's on Thursdays, 2 to 4?
Thursdays, 2 to 4.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so we have a few more minutes to talk about the lineup for next year. It changes now and then, but if faculty are here who can talk about those. So just let me list some of these. It's also on the website. So Sonia Munshi will be teaching feminist ethnography. Maria Torre will be teaching community-based research, which will have a very heavy focus on PAR, participatory action research. Jason Van Ora will be teaching the study of lives. I'll be teaching critical discourse theory and analysis. And definitely in the fall, Susan Opitow will be teaching her using the archives for social justice research. And I believe Wendy Luttrell will also be teaching her visual methods again next year. She taught it last fall, so I'm not sure if she's doing it next year, but we will obviously be working with everyone. I don't know if Michelle, would you want to say something about, I keep trying to get Michelle to do critical methods again, but she's very busy. But would you want to speak about either of those, that or the community-based? course?
Sure. I have a few comments. Maria's community-based course is great. A little bit like Jen was saying, it's good to come in with a project because they're really workshopping projects. But it's, again, it's an interdisciplinary group bringing very different kinds of dissertations, organizing projects, community-based inquiry into the room. If I can teach critical methods in the fall, I will. It's whether or not somebody else can teach methods and ethics. I was going to suggest Deb and anybody else, if we could create just little paragraphs about these courses and send them out, I think it would really matter. Even I didn't know, Deb, you could take Listening Guide 2 if you hadn't taken Listening Guide 1. That might be my fault, but I can't imagine I'm the only one. So like Choco might want to do it, even though, right, not to put you on the spot, but it feels important. And for the Foundations course too, we can spread those widely. So that's the first thing I want to say. The second is one of the cool things about I'm back to selling the concentration. One of the cool things is like people use different methods, analytic techniques, like, and they invent their own. So Sedef is using what? Using Listening Guide.
Yeah.
Name your methods.
Yes, like Listening Guide, I do use thematic analysis with in one aspect of the study, I use thematic analysis, and then later I do Listening Guide.
And quantitative.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Chris Head did discourse and narrative and thematic, or Britain developed her own call and response. And so it's really kind of a lab where you get exposed to ways of doing work, and it gives you kind of the courage to press it forward. Yasmin was a discussant on Kate Sheesh's work, and we had just a great conversation about when do you fill in the blanks for the people that you're interviewing, if they're traumatized in a refugee camp, and is that too qualitative method? So this isn't like a monogamous, choose a method and then do it. It's get exposed to a range of methods, learn them well, and then make some informed choices about how you're gonna shape that to your own project. And the last thing I wanna say is, how interesting it was, particularly to hear Britton and Lisa talk about qualitative methods as a way for either yourself or your students to say, oh, maybe I'm a researcher. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, it's like stats is like a gatekeeper on whether or not people see themselves as that dirty word researcher. And then suddenly new doors open when you say, actually, stories, narratives, lives, dialogues, call and response, aesthetics, that too is inquiry. And I think it cuts through class and race in really, and probably gender, in really creepy and exclusionary ways if we don't offer up a qualitative method. But I'd never seen it as kind of an epistemic justice issue, that to hear the kind of projects, Lisa, your students are doing, it'd be hard for them to do, and they might not see themselves as a researcher doing statistical analyses of those same projects. So it just feels like even tonight we're hearing new ways that qualitative invites people in. And the gorgeous thing about the concentration, it gives you lots of ways of doing qualitative, and they're not mutually exclusive. We're not competing who does Listening Guide, who does narrative, who does PAR. It's really a chance for you to select what works from those various genres and kind of create an assemblage of methods.
OK, Okay, thank you. Thank you, Michelle. So we have time for questions. If you could use, we'll see how many we have. If you could use the raise hand function, that would be great. Can I see everybody? Let's see. And ask of any, you know, anybody who's here. Anybody have Erica?
Yeah, hi all. Thank you for this information. It's great. Yeah. It's so exciting. And so many cosigns. I was over here silently like, yes, yes. my question was just around just wanting to understand if this is something you have to like apply for and be accepted to, or, you know, is there any reason why like you wouldn't be, you know, allowed to do the concentration or take this course, the initial course?
No, the structure is quite simple. So the three elective, the foundations course and the three electives, and then presenting once you're finished at that, at the event that we have every spring. Now we will be having it every spring. Yeah.
It's open admissions.
Open Yay! Admissions, right.
Resurrected open yeah. admissions. Erica, which program are you in?
I'm in urban ed.
Great to meet you. Yeah. Let's see. We have an apprentice. Did I say your name correctly?
Sure. How's it going? I'm driving as we're listening. Okay. Can you hear me, everyone?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, so I'm in urban ed, third year, and I have not taken a qual class yet. My intention was to take a qual class in the spring. Would I still be in alignment for this concentration? Would I have to have taken a qual, a prerequisite of qual, before entering into the concentration? And in terms of time frame, well, not even time frame, it's in terms of material. I'm currently working on my second exam. Is this material that I can use for? I know we have to do a presentation for the concentration. Are these things that I can basically, you know, conflate into one thing? Did I use material for my second exam proposal for the presentation for my dissertation opportunities?
Yes, certainly. Most of the courses involve, you know, inviting students to bring the projects they're working on. So yes, definitely. Then you could, you know, use material from your second doc or towards your dissertation. You would also be able to take multiple courses in one semester. You know, if you're third year, you're pretty far along. But for example, you could take the foundations and one of the other courses that's being offered. And so it doesn't have to be just one course a semester or in any particular sequence. So I don't know if that addresses your two questions. Yeah.
Sure. I just wanted to make sure that I'm able to take it. I'm in my third. Like I said, I'm in my third year, and I'm kind of winding down my credit action. So,
right.
Is it? Am I too late in the process for my primary?
I don't think so. It's just that you would probably, you know, talk with your advisor, but you would be taking four qualitative research methods courses over the next year of your program. So that's your tolerance and desire would come in, and you know whether and you could talk with any of us about how to line those up, especially, you know, Wendy or Jen or so, you know, somebody in your program would be able to help you especially with that. I mean, I'm on that faculty and so is Michelle, but you know, if one of your advisors would be able to help you think that through, or and also those of us who know the courses, you know, what might be two good ones to take at the same time if you were going to do that. I think Noma Naeem did that last year because she was finishing her coursework. Yeah, and she took the study of lives and the and Maria's community-based research at the same time, and she said it worked. Both of those worked really well for her in the same semester.
Okay. Thank
you. Juan? Thank you.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you so much for holding today's event. I'm a second year student in social welfare, And I'm currently taking the social welfare required course, the methods of qualitative research. And I will definitely be taking the conceptual and methodological foundations. Of course, my research is based on examining the experiences of first generation Latino youth and the impact of migration. I myself am an immigrant, also formerly undocumented. And I am very interested. And my question is, this course, specifically the conceptual course, is it hybrid, in person, online? Any idea? So I can start preparing.
Yes, yes, it's going to be hybrid, because one of the reasons, besides that students really like that, but is that some of the speakers will be having to present. Since we do have guest speakers in that class, that's one of the features of it. They may have to present from, you know, remotely. So, yeah, but you could email me more about the dates and the numbers of those.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you in January.
Okay, yes, great. Other questions or comments? Apprentice, do you have another? Your hand is still up, but, oh, did I miss? Let me see. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. You can just have a moment of silence, and anybody who has another question. Yeah.
We could pray for democracy.
Democracy, go to bed early and vote. I guess
many times, vote as often as you can.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, well, I will hang out for a while, and, you know, in case anybody thinks of any more questions, we will. We'll post the recording. I know you're all here, so you may not need it, but also please check out the website. I think one of the things we should probably add is some kind of blog with questions, comments, but now it's basically to provide information about the courses and the course descriptions. And I think Michelle's idea of sending out notices about these is also a great idea.
Do we have little profiles of the students' work on there? Just that it's such a rich immersion,
that's another great idea for the website.
Juan's project is going to be so cool, and I want you to talk to Choco. There are cross-hatched projects, and there aren't many opportunities at the Graduate Center across areas, where you really get deeply engaged in each other's work and just the hard ethics of doing the work and then representing work of people's lives. So maybe we could add on the website, like,
that's a great,
know, links to their work. Or,
well, yeah, all we have, this is a great idea. What we have now are the titles from our three presenters last spring, but maybe we can figure out how to have descriptions, maybe abstracts or the first the first screen of a PowerPoint presentation, and then links to the fuller report if people would like to share those. That's a great idea. Yeah, other ideas for the website are welcomed. Yes, it's a basic WordPress that I put together and I've had help with from Michaela, Richard Clark, and now Yasmin. And if anyone else wants to help, that's great. Get in touch with Yasmin or me. Yeah. But it's a great idea. Student research descriptions would be.
And our grandbaby projects, Lisa's students.
That's right.
The undergraduate projects, that just so refreshing to hear that. It is just not available to working class undergraduates.
Right. And at our beautiful CUNY, leading the way.
Yeah, and the fact that we're open access, I love that. All right. Thanks, Colette and Yasmin.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, all the speakers, everyone for coming.
And everybody.
Stay in touch. Yes. Okay.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Aye. So Yasmin, now the moment of truth. I will, once I end, it should be on my computer.
Colette, can I ask you one question?
Sure. Yes, sure.
I you said you were going to hang out a couple minutes, and I didn't I don't want to take up space asking like a personally specific
question. No, ask a personal question. Yeah.
So I am in my last semester of coursework in urban ed. I'm writing my second exam. I work at CUNY full time, and so I'm actually financing the degree with my employee benefits. I teach at BMCC. And I won't go into too much detail. Anyway, I've been in the program for a while. I've had like two kids on top of COVID.
Oh, wow.
So I'm on the long plan. So, but I'm just wondering, if I had known about if this concentration had existed, you know, at the beginning of my coursework, I would have been all over it. And as such, I've been interested in this and kind of trying to create it for myself. So I've taken like a pretty solid base of qual courses. Like I have the credits already there. I'm wondering if I could take this class in the spring and just plug into this concentration. Does that make sense?
Well, right, because I guess which courses you've taken? Wendy's visual methods, doing visual methods, or
not visual methods or other qual course,
right? And that I wanted to list that one, but she said it's closed. It's only for urban ed, so that would be a substitute. Okay. And then I don't know if you've taken Jen. So
taken a course with Rob Smith. In ethnography, he's in sociology, and he teaches at Baruch, but he's at the Grad Center. And then the third one was with Michelle Fine. I took her her critical, or not critical methods, what's it called?
She taught critical methods in the fall of 2020.
I took it fall 2018.
Oh, okay, maybe that was a precursor, maybe. Well, so what, if you take the foundations course and then write to the committee, and you could even do it before. Sometimes we take petitions for alternatives. So if you write it up, the committee, and it wouldn't be just me, but we have a committee that includes students and faculty for the concentration. So you could write up what you've taken. And then we can see about those electives, right? So does that sound like a concrete plan?
That sounds really good. So can I email you more about it?
Yes, definitely do. Yeah. And look at your transcript and get if you get the exact titles of the courses and the years, then we can, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll do that this week.
Okay.
All right. Thank you both.
Great. Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, when I get this, I will send it to you. Okay.
I think I was recording as well, but well, you can send
it to me. You know what happened? Once we logged off before, then I had to remake you co-host.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
But it's okay. We got the record in most of the meeting.
Okay. So once I end, I will get a message that
okay.
It's on the computer. Thank you so much.
No problem. Just forward it to me and I will add it to the main page.
Right.
For now. Not the event page, so it's more accessible. Then we can remove it to the event page later.
And in case you have a recording as well, save yours as well, in case.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.